We're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, midway through the page. And the other ones is 31b2, second column. Okay, in Ksubis Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, middle of the page, 31b2, second column. Okay, the Gemara was discussing over here, just to review it, because it's called a complicated Gemara a little bit. The Gemara was discussing, we learned a din, what's called Kimlei Bedraba Mine. If a person does two crimes, one, you get killed, and one, you pay money. So because you get killed, you don't have to pay money. Okay?
No.
Oh, speaking of the devil, I mean Mashiach. Now, what happens? Now we're learning. Oh. Now spiritual food.
This is kosher.
I didn't say, but now we're learning spiritual food.
He hasn't eaten yet.
Who?
You.
How do you know? Because you're hungry.
No.
Okay, let's go. Guys. Now, Rav Nochuni ben Akana holds. Okay, Rav Nochuni ben Akana holds the same thing applies to Kodesh. If you did a punishment. Like we learned about Knas. You seduce the girl, and even though you get caught, she's his sister. Nevertheless, you're going to be freed from payment. Okay. But now the Gemara is going into a new thing over here. The Gemara is discussing an Amid Aleph, okay, that Rababin said, Lamid Aleph Amid Beis, okay? This Gemara got to be taken a little slow because it's hard Gemara. I mean, just bottom line, you have to understand it well. Rababin said a statement. You shoot an arrow on Shabbos from the beginning of four Amos to the end of four Amos, and in the middle of the way, you rip somebody's clothing. Okay? So he says, you're potter. Why? Because when you picked it up, you carried it, you shot it, threw it, whatever it was, and it landed, it's all one act. So in the middle of the act, you tore the guy's expensive garment. So you get killed for desecrating Shabbos. Because you carried on Shabbos for Amos, and therefore you don't have to put. Okay, so now, the Gemara asked a question like this. This is what the Gemara is in the middle of talking about now. Now, Bibi asked a question from a Braisa. It says, if somebody steals a wallet on Shabbos, he has to pay for the wallet. Now, what does it mean? He stole the wallet and carried it outside. So he desecrated Shabbos. Meanwhile, he stole the object. So he has to pay. So the Braisa says, why? Because you finish stealing it before you carried it out. You pick it up in the guy's house, you stole it. When are you chayiv for Shabbos? When you carry it outside. So it's not simultaneous. The only din is, simultaneously, when you desecrate Shabbos while you rip somebody's garment, so then simultaneously you only get killed, you don't... But the Braisa says, because the stealing comes before the carrying out, so therefore you have to pay for the thing. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. What happens though, if you were dragging it out, this Braisa says, you're dragging it out slowly, then you won't have to pay. Why? Because you didn't pick it up, you're just pulling it on the ground. So when do you actually acquire it? The stolen good. When you take it out. When you take it out, that's desecration of Shabbos. So simultaneously. So then you would be put. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the Gemara asks a question. L'cheira, when you carried it out, right? I'm sorry, the Gemara says like this. Okay, when he picked it up to steal, it's the first part of the verse. When he picked it up to steal it, his intention was to carry it out. And you just got through saying that because carrying is picking it up, carrying it out, putting it down, it's all one act, one continuous act. So then, the guy shouldn't have to pay for the wallet, because when he picked it up, his intention was to carry it out. Right? So he didn't acquire it yet to steal. He picked it up to carry it out, so when he carries it out, that's when he acquires it, and that's when he's simultaneously desecrating Shabbos. Right? Okay. So Gemara says, speaking, he picked it up, not with the intention of carrying it. He picked it up, one answer to Gemara. He picked it up with the intention of putting it somewhere else in the house. And then he changed his mind and he carried it out. So then the stealing is before he took it out. Right? Because when he picked it up, it wasn't to take it out. It was to hide it somewhere in the house. So that's when he stole it, when he picked it up in the house. When did he want to carry it out? That was a new act, when he decided to carry it outside. Okay? That was one answer. Then the Gemara discussed another answer. Okay, the Gemara went into a bunch of things. So now we're up to Rav Ashi's answer. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Rav Ashi Omar, we started this last week, we didn't. Mamish, the middle of the page of Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. Rav Ashi says like this. It means like this. When the guy was dragging it out, okay, the guy was dragging out the pocket. So the Gemara said before, you're really not kaine it because, you have to, where did you bring it out? To the side of the street? Whatever. So Rav Ashi says like this. It's speaking when you carry, let's see, this is the thing you're stealing. Well, it comes in useful. You're dragging it on the floor and you're carrying it out. Okay? And then you stuck your other hand under the object within 9 inches of the ground, within 3 tefachim of the ground, and then you put it into your hand. So now, because you're dragging on the floor, you did not acquire it to steal. Because not a Kenyan. Kenyan is picking it up. Right? So when I drag it out, and now I put it in my hand, so now I desecrated Shabbos because I put it down. And when I put it into my hand, I simultaneously stole it. Because then I acquired it to steal. So that case makes sense. I drag it out. That's why the Mishnah says you don't have to pay for the stealing, because Shabbos and stealing are coming together. Right? In other words, if the stealing comes before the desecration of Shabbos, you have to pay for the wallet. If the acquiring the stolen object comes together with Shabbos desecration, then because you're going to get killed for Shabbos, you don't have to pay for the wallet. Right? So that's what Rav Ashi says. We're not done yet. Let's see what Rav Ashi says. Kugain, Shetzirev Yodei Lamata Mishleisha. He put his hand under 3 tefachim. V'kibla, and he accepted it. Kedrava, like Rava says, and Rava said a very interesting din. This was mamish where we left off last week. Yodei Shal Adam Chshuva Leika Arba Arlaba. The din by Shabbos is, in order to carry, we learned you need to pick it up from a proper place. You need to carry it out from into the street or into the house from the street, and then you need to put it down. Putting it down and picking it up has to come from a place which is called a place. So the Gemara says, what's called a place? 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. 4 hand breadths. Let's see, each one's 3 inches. 12 inches by 12 inches. That is called putting it down on something. In other words, the Gemara says, what happens if there's a thin stick protruding in the street, up? Yeah? And I put it on top of the stick. I carried something from the house, and I put it on top of the stick. I didn't put it down in the public domain. That's not called putting it down. Because it has to be a decent size.
Unless it's your palm of your hand.
Oh, so but that's what. So Rava says that Yodei Shel Adam, the hand of a person, even though it's much smaller than 12 inches by 12 inches, most people, it's still considered like a place of Dalet al Dalet. And the Rambam in the Mishnayos explains, the reason for that is because it can hold something as much as a place 12 inches by 12 inches could hold. So therefore the hand is considered putting it down. So therefore when the person drags it out, okay, he drags this out, he's stealing this. He drags it out, okay, and then he puts it into his hand as soon as it goes out of the house, right? So then he put it down in the public domain. He acquired it in his hand because he took it into his hand, now he acquired it. So then in that case he won't have to pay for the wallet because it came simultaneously.
The hand has to be close to the ground or doesn't matter?
It has to be within 3 tefachim.
hand of the person is separated than his body, even though your body is connected to the ground?
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be the Gemara, because the Gemara was discussing, because the Gemara says like this. If you take it out into the street, when are you carrying the object? Then you, like the Gemara says, there's the Isra of Shabbos, and there's no Geneva, because you can't do Meshicha, you can't pull something out in the street. Chum did not institute being Kaina. Okay, let's go back to last week. One second. How do you acquire an animal? You can't pick up an elephant. You can't pick up a horse. Right? Okay. So how do you acquire it? You pull it. It's called Meshicha. This, how do I acquire it? By picking it up. Okay. An animal you can't pick up. So how do you transfer ownership? You pull it. It goes 6 feet, 4 amis, you coin it. Now the Chum said, we don't do that in the public domain. Because that's not the normal way of acquiring things like that in the street. Okay? So it has to be done only in a way that you pull it either in a private domain, or, as Gemara was answering before, in the sides of the street. So Gemara is discussing, if you're dragging it out, so then you desecrated Shabbos. But you can't acquire it because you're pulling it, and pulling it doesn't work in the street. So first Gemara said it's at the side of the street. So for Shabbos is considered a public domain, for the acquisition is considered a private domain, so therefore you can acquire it and simultaneously desecrate Shabbos. Okay, what did you want?
What if at the time that half of the object is inside the house or another half is outside?
No, then you're not first. Obligated Shabbos until the whole thing is
out. But the Kenyan happens or no?
No.
What are you going to eat?
You still have to acquire the whole thing.
Whole thing?
Yeah. You can't pick up a half an object to be cutting it. Let's say I want to pick this up. You have to pick it up, mm-hmm. right? I can't pick up half of it. Even when I pick up, I'm not acquiring. Because I'm supposed to acquire the object. You don't acquire a half an object like that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead. So that wouldn't work either. Okay. Davacha. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. So he says like this. Okay, Davacha Masna Hacha Davacha resolves the resolution a different way. Meaning like this. Ravina Masna, so Ravacha learns it the way Ravashi did, that he pulled out his hand, you know, put the hand there, and therefore he acquired it. Ravina says no. Le'elam afkilu shusarabim. He argues on the whole premise that we said before. Before, the Gemara's premise was, you can't acquire something in a public domain by pulling it. What's his name? Ravina's gonna come along and say now, you could acquire it in the street also by pulling it. So he says that's how you resolve the resolution. If the guy's pulling the object, right? The Gemara said 1 minute. The guy's pulling the object and pulls it into the street. So we need to make two things. That the stealing and desecration of Shabbos are coming together. Right? But the Gemara asked, if he can't drag something into the street to acquire it, then you never acquired it, but you desecrated Shabbos first. You never sold it even. You never acquired it. Right? So Navina answers very simple. The truth is, you can acquire something by dragging it even in the street. And therefore, when the guy pulls out the wallet, right, into the street, he acquires it. Because Meshicha, pulling, does work in the street. It works in the street also. So then when he pulls it out, he acquired it, simultaneously desecrating Shabbos, so therefore he doesn't have to pay for the wallet. Okay? And both are arguing, in other words, like this. So the argument basically boils down to one point. Can you acquire something by pulling it in the street or not? Ravina says yes, the first opinion says no. So you might say, what's the source of their argument? He says, Tavai b'diyuka damas nitin kamifligi. Okay, they're arguing about a detail in another law of a Mishnah. It's a very interesting din. Okay, let me just say something like this. If a guy steals something, if I steal your cow, and the cow dies a natural death in my house, I'm still obligated to pay for it. If you lend me your cow, right, or you rent me your cow, or I'm watching, not lend, if I'm renting your cow, I'm watching your cow, right? And the cow dies a natural death, it's called an accident. Right? It will die by you also. Like the Gemara has an expression, Malach HaMavis, the angel of death of the animal, what's the difference here or here? If the angel of death wants to kill the animal's time goes to go, so it's gonna kill him anyway. But if somebody steals an animal, even if it's a natural death, I still have to pay for it.
Why?
Because you stole it.
Died anyway, the same
no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because you stole it, because you stole it,
could have died because you stole it.
You're still liable to pay for it.
Got scared,
huh? Not to pull it. Whatever the reason, you still stole it. You got
paid. Yeah, because with stealing, it doesn't matter. Okay? So because the din is, once you steal an object, you have a total obligation to give it back to the owner no matter what happens.
The way it was before you stole it.
If I borrow it or rent it, or borrowing is different. But if I rent it or watching it, I don't accept that responsibility to go so far that a natural death should obligate me. But when you steal it, the Torah says, you stole an object, you sinned, you stole, you have to give it back. And it doesn't matter what happens to the object. Okay? So now the din is like this. A guy was a thief, was pulling out, a guy comes to a guy's barn, okay, to steal an animal. Steal his cow. He's pulling out the cow. But, in other words, the cow's in the barn. Yeah, the barn is the owner's domain. Right? So the guy is pulling the cow out to steal. But the cow dies in the barn before it goes out of the barn.
This
is the so the din is, no, it's the owner's domain. It's the owner's barn.
Not the rest of
the it is, but it doesn't matter. So the din is, he doesn't have to pay for the cow. Why? He never stole it. He never acquired the cow. To steal something, you have to acquire it.
Correct.
If you don't acquire it, it's not, you never stole it, they're still the owners. Now, if I pull something in your house, I didn't acquire it, if I'm stealing it, I didn't acquire it, right? So therefore, if the guy's pulling the cow out of the barn, and the cow dies before it leaves the barn, you don't have to pay for the cow.
What happened?
Hegbiyai. What happens if he lifted the animal, a smaller animal, he lifted it up. Oi, shirt, seal my shoes by them. Or he pulled it out of the barn. And after it's out of the barn, v'mase, then the animal died. So the din is chayiv, he's obligated to pay. Okay? So the Mishnah says here two things, interestingly. The first case is, in the private domain, he didn't acquire it.
There's no Mishnah.
Well, there is, but not when you're stealing it. Okay? So he says like this.
Imagine if you go to a barn and you want to buy it. If you do Meshicha,
then you acquire it even in the barn.
What is different?
Because here the owner is giving it to you. If I sell you this bag in my house, in my store,
yeah?
I sell you this, you pay me for it. You pick it up, it's yours?
Yeah.
It's my store? Because I'm giving it to you. But if you want to steal it, stealing is only when you leave the store. Or you put it into your pocket, maybe. Understand? It's still yours. Now, if you analyze carefully the beginning and the end, they contradict each other. Not contradicting, but he says like this. Ravina learns from the Reisha from the first clause. Ravacha says from the second. Meaning like this. Ravina Dayik, Ravina learns like this. In the first part of the case, it says, Hoyameshche v'yeitzel meis b'shuz b'aylim. If it died in the owner's domain, you don't have to pay. Which means, if he pulled it out to the street and he died, you would have to pay. That means pulling in the street is good. Yeah. Right? Because what does the Mishnah say? If you pulled it and it died in the owner's domain, you don't have, you didn't steal it. Which means if I pull it out into the street, I did acquire it.
Yeah,
correct?
That makes perfect sense. How about if, as a result of your negligence, you pull too hard and you choke the animal?
No, that's for sure negligence. Even a watchman would have to pay for that. Now, time at the maze b'shus b'ilum. The reason is because it died in the reshus of the owner. But from the beginning of the Mishnah comes out that if I pulled it out outside of the house of the owner, meaning into the street, then I would have to pay for it. Which means pulling in the street is an acquisition. I'm acquiring it. Rav Acha says, look at the end of it. If he picked it up or carried it out, so it says, Haitzah, carrying it out, is similar to picking it up. Mahagba, just like picking it up, the Asa L'shus, it has to come into the thief's domain. Okay? Af Haitzah Nami, so then carrying it out, is also if it comes into his domain. Which implies if he carried it out to the street, it wouldn't be good. Because it's not your domain. The first part of the Mishnah says like this. You're pulling the animal, right? If it died inside the barn, you don't have to pay. Which means if I took it outside of the barn, I do have to pay. It's a public domain.
No, but it's from Yachid to domain, the public.
Yeah, but did it come to my domain? How did I acquire it? How did I acquire it?
Well, you had the intent.
Because I pulled it out into the street.
Yeah,
that means I could acquire by pulling into the street.
Not in the street itself, from one domain to another domain.
No, well, the barn, it's not one door into the barn, to both houses.
You don't learn this from that, no?
Sure you do.
It simply means if you take it from that barn out, because you go from one direction to another direction, yeah. But doesn't mean if you pull in the
But if you hold you can't acquire something in a public domain, how did the Ganef acquire it? This opinion is of the opinion that you cannot acquire something in a public domain. Yeah. Right? So if so, how did I steal it by dragging it into the public domain? With what did I acquire it?
It went out of the reshut of the owner.
Yeah, but I didn't acquire it in his reshus. So when I took it out, yes. In the street, yes. That means in the street I could acquire it. That's what it means. How else can I get it? If I didn't acquire the animal, the thief, if he didn't acquire the animal, he doesn't have to pay for it. If the animal dies, it's not his. When he acquires it as a thief, then it becomes his. So no matter what happens to the animal, he has to give it back.
He acquired it inside the barn.
No. If it's stealing in the barn, who gave it to him?
Nobody.
Only picking it up makes it yours.
But you can't pick up a heavy
animal. Right, so when he drags it inside the house, the Mishnah says, clearly, if it dies inside the house, you don't have to pay for it. Why don't you have to pay for it? Because you didn't acquire it. Right? You didn't acquire it. Which means if I carried it out, I did acquire it. So how did I acquire it? Because you could pull it in the street. Ravina says, you see from here, pulling in the street is good. Rav Acha learns the second, from the second half of the Mishnah, the opposite. Because the second half of the Mishnah says, if he picked it up, or he dragged it out, then it says, he's chayiv. Yeah. Okay, then you're chayiv. So that means, carrying it out, is like picking it up. Just like picking it up, it has to be into your domain, into your pocket, into your whatever. The same thing carrying it out also has to be into your domain. Which means, if I carried it out into the street, which is not my domain, it's not mine, right? I wouldn't have to pay for it. Because I didn't acquire it. So Ravina learns from the beginning of the Mishnah that you can acquire something by schlepping it in the street. And Rav Acha says in the second half of the Mishnah, you see, that you cannot acquire it by schlepping it in the street. Because you're not taking it into your domain.
So what is the answer?
No, that's why each one holds their opinion. So now the Gemara asks, if you can learn from A, B, and from B, C, then they contradict each other. First half of the Mishnah contradicts the second half of the Mishnah. By implication, not in the clear-cut law. The clear-cut law says, if the animal died in the barn, you never acquired it. Which means, if you took it into the street, you did acquire it. Even though it's a public domain. The second part of the Braisa says, if you picked it up and took it out into your domain, then you do have to pay. Which implies into the street, you didn't acquire it. Right? So obviously it seems to be a contradiction now within the beginning and end of what it infers.
The second one said, if you picked it up in the barn, you acquired, right?
Yeah, it says, you see him, his shoes, buy them. You took it out of the owner's domain.
Well, what about his intention? His intention, last week I asked you, he didn't take the wallet out of the house. He said, as soon as he took it, he stole it.
Can I ask you a question? There's something in the world today called shoplifting. Yeah?
Not considered shoplifting unless you exit the door.
Not really. If you put it into your pocket with the intent clearly of not paying for it, it's shoplifting.
Correct. Right.
They catch the people in the store, not out of the store.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
But they never left the store. The guy, because I didn't steal it, it's in the store.
So technically, they have to leave the store before they get caught. The policeman's outside the front door. They leave the store and then they get
it. Yeah, but it's still acquiring it. Right. You didn't take it to your house.
Right. So is that based on the Gemara?
Torah law.
Is that you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
So according to that, when he pulled the heavy animal that he cannot lift, when he pulled it with the intention of stealing, he acquired it.
Inside the house, you can only acquire it if I gave it to you or sold it to you. Then you can acquire it. The definition of stealing is I take something of yours to me. Right? That's the definition of stealing. If I hide something from you, am I stealing it? I'm just hiding something. Huh? It's not stealing.
But
this is your bag. I hide it. I hide it. Then you can't find it. I didn't steal it. I never took it. I'm not a nice guy. Right? But I didn't steal it.
But what if you have the intention of stealing?
But the intention of stealing is only valid if you legally acquire it.
And if you acquire it, if you take it and put it in your pocket, then you legally acquire it.
Then you picked it up. Then you legally acquire it. That's what he says. Because then you put it into your domain, into your pocket.
Right.
But dragging an animal by itself is no acquisition to say I stole it. By definition, stealing means I had to acquire it from you, either without you knowing about it or against your will. What's the definition of stealing? What's the definition of stealing?
Taking something away from you.
From you to me. But if it doesn't come to me, I never took it away from you.
Without your permission.
Right. If I give you permission to take it, then you pull it, the animal, you pull in the store, whatever it is, in the cattle ranch, whatever, then you acquire it.
In halacha lemaaseh, there is difference between yidden and la'avdil goyim, like the intention, like says somewhere, I don't know. If the Jew like has intention of doing bad, it's not considered as, unless you do it. But if the goy has intention of doing something bad, even though he didn't do it, Hashem considers as if he did it. But is it actuality or is it like only?
No.
It's not an actuality.
No.
In halacha, it's the same thing.
Yep. Okay. Stealing is when you acquire it. Think about it. Stealing is when I take it from you to me. If it's stole by you, how did I steal it? I hid it. I didn't steal it.
That is absolutely.
And that's what the Gemara is figuring out. We're trying to figure out that you desecrated Shabbos and simultaneously stole it. Right? So all these scenarios that the Gemara is giving is to try to figuring it out how you can acquire the stolen object So first the Gemara says, well, if you bring it into the street, Mashiach doesn't help in the street. So the Gemara says, okay, he's dragged it out to the side of the street. So it's called desecration of Shabbos, and you can acquire it. Ravina comes along and says, no, you can acquire something in the street like that. You can acquire something in the street like that.
Same thing by Karka. If you just go sit down in the place of somebody, it becomes yours. You have to do something, Maase, or just...
One of the ways, land could be acquired in one of three ways. Either money, shtar, a document, a deed. I give you over a deed to the property. Or I make a chazaka, something in the field. What is it? I make a fence, I dig, I do something in the land. You can't obviously pick up a land to acquire it. Right? So how do I do... Again, you have to understand, this is relevant in the later Gemara also. The concept of acquiring something means ownership. Okay? Well, you sell something to me. Yeah? You have the intent of selling it, the intent of selling it. I have the intent of buying it. We do the proper acquisitions. Okay? So what happens? It changes ownership. Correct? Some things you could acquire with money as an acquisition. Something money doesn't work min ha-Torah, or min ha-Torah, yes, in the Rabbanan, it's a big argument. Or certain things, you have to make a document. Certain things, you have to do a chazak in the object itself. But the whole concept of kinyan is I'm acquiring it from you to me. Now, just to go off a little bit, but it's very basic dinim in acquisition. If I find something in the street, there's money laying in the street.
On Sabbath.
No, during the week.
Or if you're walking down the street on Sabbath. Wait, that's a good question.
Excellent question, but we're not talking about that. 1 second. Tonight, you go home, you see, walk in the street, you see $100 bill. You pick it up. Yeah? You acquire it. It's ownerless. Correct? You acquire it. Now, did anybody give it to you?
No.
No. So then, acquisition is not somebody giving and you taking, it's you taking it by yourself. Correct? For instance, that acquisition does not work by a kid. According to biblical law, not what the rabbis made, I'll explain in a second. According to biblical law, a child under bar mitzvah does not have the maturity to acquire things. Because acquiring means ownership. To understand ownership, you need to have a maturity. So the din is, a katan or ktana cannot, according to biblical law, the rabbi said you can't do it, but according to biblical law, if you walk out with a kid, 10-year-old kid, and he finds a $100 bill in the street, and he picks it up and says, I got a $100 bill. Yeah? And you take it away from him, biblically it's yours, not the kid's. Because the kid never acquired it from the street. Okay? Why didn't the kid acquire it in the street? Because a kid's maturity is minimal. In order for him to acquire it, he needs a giver. If somebody gives something to the kid, the intent of the giver helps for the kid to receive it. Instead, normally, there's a giver and a receiver, whether it's selling gift, no matter what it could be, right? Trading, whatever it could be, right? So, normally there's a giver and a receiver. An adult can acquire something even without a giver. Like I said, you find something in the street, you pick it up, you acquired it. By picking it up, it's yours. A kid under bar mitzvah doesn't have the maturity on their own, according to biblical law, to pick it up and acquire it. If somebody gives it to them, then the mind of the giver helps the kid to receive it. Mm-hmm. Understand? Right. Chacham say if a kid finds something in the street, they don't want any kicking, biting, screaming, yelling, who knows what. So the kid said, rabbinically, the kid picks it up, it's his. But biblically, he didn't acquire it. Which is, by the way, a very interesting just in the practical din.
He said that just because they were afraid the kid was going to have a breakdown or something?
Yeah.
It's really simple.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll give you an example where that's going to work.
What if it's Sabbath?
One second. I'll give you an example where this is going to work. The din is, but a kid, under Bar Bat Mitzvah, can acquire something because somebody gives it to them.
Correct.
But they don't have the ability to give something.
Correct.
A kid, halachically, cannot give you something to acquire.
Right. You're just going to have to steal it from them.
You know, biblically, if this is a kid's bizly, yeah, and the kid says, "Here, I'm giving you a present," and he gives it to you, halachically, you didn't acquire it. Because the kid owns it. But he doesn't have the maturity to give. He can only receive when there's a giver. Understand? But for him to give, the receiver is not going to help him. So therefore, lulav...
You can't take the business.
The lulav has to be yours. So let's say a father gives the lulav to the kid before the father says the bracha on it. So the father is giving, if he gives it to him as a present, the father gives the kid a present, because the father is giving it to the 10-year-old kid, the 10-year-old kid acquires it. But he halachically cannot give it back to the father. So the father doesn't have a lulav of his own.
That's only important on the first day, right?
Yeah. No, therefore you don't give it to him, it's only yichinuch, whatever, you hold on to it, whatever it is, the bottom line is, if technically the father would give the lulav to the kid on the first day, before he blesses himself and he says, "Here, this is a gift for you." So the kid acquires it because it was a giver. But the kid can't give it back to the father to you, that he should be considered his own lulav because the kid can't give.
But is there anything your kid has is yours anyway?
No, but not if you give it to him that he should have it. What do you know about Shabbos? You find $100 bill on Shabbos?
Yeah. What if someone is walking, as you're walking down the street, and you find money on the street?
That happened to me.
First of all, would that be considered as carrying? Because you're picking it up, is that considered as carrying?
Well, if you pick it up...
in your pocket, is that
called... That's called carrying.
That's called carrying. Yeah. So are you supposed to...
Besides the fact, you're not allowed to touch money on Shabbos anyway.
Exactly.
So you have to leave the money there.
Really?
Yeah.
Can't you
give it to Sadaka?
Not on Shabbos. Can you rob a bank and give tzedakah?
Huh?
Can you rob a bank and give tzedakah?
No, but you're not robbing. That's different. Robbing is stealing.
And this is desecration of Shabbos. Same thing. In fact, it's worse.
Can you kick it to the side?
You can kick it to the side if it's not carrying. You can stay there until the end of Shabbos. You can cover it with something questionable. But yeah,
I went to find a few $100 in bills walking on Shabbos.
No?
Right. Couldn't do anything about it. I'm looking at it saying...
You see, it's a good question.
I thought it was a good question.
I can't touch it.
But he's a tzaddik.
I'm a tzaddik. I'm keeping Shabbos.
What did you do?
He left it there.
You left it there?
I left it on the
tzaddik. You should have kicked it into the...
I had to go to shul. I'm not going to sit.
Okay.
Worry about the money.
Bye, Dad.
You have to remember something. If Hashem wants to give you money, he can give it to you another way.
If the king gives you the business, you can't take it.
If you could take it because it's considered that it's not really his to begin with. Okay. Ravacha, so now the Gemara says like this. Ravacha learns it out from the end of the Mishnah. Ravina learns it out from the beginning of the Mishnah. But because they're opposite inferences, so then they actually contradict each other. What?
Even the other days of Sukkot, isn't it still better just to...
It's better, but the main thing is Lecha in the first day. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says like this. Rachel Ravacha Lekashem. He says like this. According to the beginning of Ravacha, who holds you cannot acquire in a public domain, it's not a problem. He said, Kamadul Asul Shusei, as long as it doesn't come into the thief's domain, the Shus Baila Karinal is still called the owner's domain. Meaning, when the Mishnah uses the owner's domain, it doesn't mean his house, but the owner's dominion, like he says. If the thief pulled the animal and it died while it was still under the owner's dominion, okay, before he pulled it to where machine, then he's gonna not have to pay for it. He says, you don't learn from there that if you schlepped it into the street, you do acquire it. Even if you dragged it into the street, you're also not gonna get it. Why does the Mishnah say, as long as it's in the reshus of the owner, It means as until it comes to the thief, it's still the owner's. And Rav Sefer Ravina Lekasha, why? We don't say carrying out is like picking up. Picking up is you acquire it, and carrying out you don't acquire it until you take it into the street. Okay, this ends this Gemara. Now the Gemara says like this. Habala Chesei, it says a guy violates his sister, or a Chesav of his aunt, which is again forbidden, or his wife's sister, his brother's wife, you know, all the forbidden ones. So the Gemara says, what's the din? You have to pay a fine. You have to pay the fine for seducing, right? Even though you're going to get karis. But our Mishnah holds, not like Rav Nachunya ben Akana, our Mishnah holds that only when Bezdin kills you do you not have to pay damages. But if God kills you, you still have to pay damages. That's what our Mishnah said. But Aminu, I'll ask you a question. It says, in another Mishnah, it says like this, Eilan Aleikin. These are people, what?
Not Chayiv Misa?
What? Karis.
Only Karis?
Only Karis are these things.
Oh, she's not married. Okay.
No, if it's an Ashes, it's a different story. Yeah. These are all when they're not married.
Uh-huh. Okay.
When they're not married. So then the punishment is Karis. Okay, Elaine Aleika, these are the people that get lashes for transgressing, well, many, but some of them.
How much you have to give?
What?
If you seduce your sister.
100 silver coins.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Elan, you know what they say? If you can't pay for it,
don't do it.
Don't do it. Elan, Aleikin, these are the people that get, we said last night, they get also. Hey, years ago, people sinned, they had to bring an expensive sacrifice. You know, a cow could be a few months' salary in the olden days. You know what I mean? You had to pay, but they didn't steal. That's they didn't commit a crime, that's all.
I shouldn't pay taxes either.
I agree.
What?
And in these cases, you have to pay 100.
Yeah.
Who do you pay?
Avianida, or the girl herself.
Your sister, or
yeah, yeah. Or if the girl's young, you pay the father.
But what does violation mean?
The rape her.
Rape her. Does it have to be penetration?
Okay, let's not get to. But well, Amina, I'll ask you a question.
Kim Leibed Rav Amina, Schayev Kores.
Because that's the Gemara learned before. Rav Nachunya ben Akana Taka holds not like our Mishnah. Rav Nachunya ben Akana holds even by Kodesh. There's also Kimlei b'Rav Mina. Chachamim in our Mishnah. That's what Gemara says. Our Mishnah argues on Rav Nachunya ben Akana. The beginning of the Gemara. Our Mishnah argues on Rav Nachunya ben Akana because Rav Nachunya ben Akana holds. Here. We're 30. No, we're 31 before, but we're almost 31. Here, the Gemara says Lafukim and Rav Nachunya ben Akana. Rav Nachunya ben Akana holds even if you get if God kills you, you also don't have to pay. Our Mishnah says only when Bezdin kills you do you not have to pay. Okay, so the Mishnah gives a number of people that get lashes. Abala Chesei, one has relations with a sister. Al Chesaviv, his father's sister. Al Chesima, his mother's sister. Val Chesishtei, and his wife's sister. Val Eisha Sachiv, and his brother's wife. Val Eisha Sachi Aviv, or his father's brother's wife. Val Anidar, woman during her menstrual cycle. Okay? All these people get Malkus. They all get lashes. Okay? It means even if he died already. Hmm? Even if he died.
Oh.
All these cases, by the way, are speaking, in fact, no, it means obviously when he died. Well, it's obvious. Okay, because then you're right. If she's a married woman, he gets killed by Bezdin. Then they don't get Malkus, by the way. Then they get killed. If you get killed, you don't get Malkus. But the Mishnah says, Kol Chai V'Krisis, anybody who did a sin where the punishment is Karis that God kills you, they would whip you anyway. When Bezdin killed you, He got killed. You didn't have to get whipped. Yet the Kaimalon.
And Anida.
Huh?
And also Anida.
Right. The Kaimalon, and we know an established rule, Deina Leika Mashalit, that nobody ever gets Malkus and has to pay. So now the question is like this. Our Mishnah says all these women, if you rape them, God forbid, you have to pay money. And this Braisa says, I think it's the Braisa, probably a Mishnah, that says that if, the Mishnah, that says all these women, if you had relations with them, you get whipped. And we know you don't get whipped and pay. So how can our Mishnah say you have to pay a knas? When the Braisa says, the other Mishnah says you get whipped, and if you get whipped, you don't get paid, you don't have to pay. So Gemara says, Amr Ula Ula says like this. It depends. Kam b'chei naida, one who forcibly rapes his sister, when is there a fine? When she's 12 to 12 and a half. Kam b'chei begeres, but in the case where she's a begeres, there's no fine. Meaning, the din is only between a girl 12 to 12 and a half. Okay? So then, Amish is speaking about a girl between 12 and 12 and a half who's a Na'ira. Remember, there's a Ketana. No, a girl under Bas Mitzvah is called a Ketana. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's called Na'ira. Over 12 and a half, she's a begeris. Complete adult. So the Gemara says like this. When does our Mishnah say you pay a fine? When she's a Naida, meaning between 12 and 12 and a half. If she's over 12 and a half, there's no fine. Because Torah says only Naida. Torah says when you find not a woman, Torah says Naida. Okay? So because she's a Naida, so the Torah is speaking about a case between a girl at the age of 12 to 12 and a half. So therefore, if you seduced her, raped her, whatever, you have to pay $100. 100 silver pieces. This that it says you don't pay because you get whipped is when she's over 12 and a half. Then you only get whipped, you don't pay.
The husband that accuses the wife falsely and it's proven that it was false, doesn't he get whipped and pays?
No. Mm-hmm. The Gemara's going to ask, but the Gemara's going to ask this soon.
And then he gets killed, no?
No.
He accused his wife.
No, and it's false. We learned last time in the Chumash class. Yeah.
Well, that's only if she was a Naira.
Over there, the Torah says explicitly it's unique case.
Somebody accuses their wife deliberately to get her killed.
No, the case we learned is the guy marries her, she said, yeah, that she's not a psula, and then it happened after the Eidus.
Which one is worse, Rabbi Loke or Kesef?
Which one's worse?
Pay or get lashes. Maybe it's a lot of money for some people. Maybe they can take it. Because it says 12 and 12 and a half. So in Na'ara, it pays? 12 and a half.
Over 12 and a half, they have three lashes.
But one second. There's the Gemara is going to explain this now. There's a lot of different dinim. You know, if I, God forbid, hurt you bad, yeah. Let's speak the classic example of what the Gemara is talking about. Not here. A guy cuts off somebody's hand. God forbid. Okay. Right. There's five damages. There's nezek. Damages. Like, how do you estimate the damages of a guy without a hand, with a hand? I mean, how much you'd be solving in the slave market with a hand, without a hand? And that's what you have to pay. Then there's pain. It's hard. It hurt what you did. Okay? Then there's ripui, doctor bills. Then there's shevis. Then there's workers' comp. I can't work now. And there's baishis, shame. Okay? So the Gemara is going to ask, when a guy seduces this girl, not seduces, rapes her, okay, the din is, besides the 100 silver, that's for damaging her. In addition to that, the Gemara is going to say there's pain.
Correct.
If he raped her, there's pain.
Correct.
And there's a shame. That now she's not a virgin anymore.
She can't get married.
So the Gemara is going to say those things. Now, the 100 silver coins is knas. Is a fine. Because whether the girl is this type of girl or that type of girl, it's all the same amount. Right? You can't say, oh, a more prominent girl is more expensive if you raped her. Same thing. That's called fine. But then you have monetary damages.
Well, the shame is greater, no?
Shame, well, that's what I'm saying. Doing this to a very prominent family is more shame than a person if it's done to a, you know, whatever,
that's
family. No, the shame is a monetary thing.
That's inappropriate.
No, it's not true.
One, someone that comes from a wealthier family, they're more shameful.
That's how it's
measured.
That's how it's measured. No, that's
what the Gemara says.
First of all,
I thought we're all equal in Hashem's eyes.
We're all equal, but the shame that you caused her is more shame. By a prominent girl gets more shamed.
Horrible.
A more prominent person gets more shamed. Okay, that's reality. Or people go around shaming themselves. Doing stupid things that constantly shame themselves. There's no shame by that person. So you don't have to pay shame if you embarrass them.
So you ain't got no shame.
So there's more punishment for the Na'ara, 12 and 12 and a half. Because 12 and a half, Bogeret is only Malkut. Okay. It looks like, no. Which one is worse? I don't know.
Some people would rather, for instance, I'll give you an example. How do you estimate pain? The Gemara says, in case of, God forbid, chopping off somebody's hand. Yeah, how do you estimate pain?
There is no way.
So it says, there's a way of amputating a hand with poison that's much less painful than cutting it off, right? So Besdin estimates, if a guy has to cut off his hand, but there's two ways of doing it. One is less painful or painless, and one is more painful. How much would a guy pay not to have it the painful way, but doing it the painless way? That's called pain.
The fine.
That's not the fine, it's monetary damages. It's not a fine.
Yeah, right.
Fine is when everybody has the same amount, no matter who you are.
No, that's what I meant, the monetary.
No, but there's a fine when the Torah says you rape the girl, you have to pay 100 shekel. It doesn't matter who the girl is.
Oh, no, my question is like this, simply, why should be different punishment for the Na'aro and Bogeret? If the violated
is there's a kosev.
Huh?
Torah says. That's it.
But she's going the same.
Often. Yeah.
Actually, it makes a lot of sense. Huh? Because the psychological effects of a girl in the age of 12, that leaves a lot of residual. A younger child perhaps will not be as affected. But no, it makes sense.
What?
A young
lady. No, but knas. The knas is the same price for everybody. That's what the Torah says. Oh, why by Naira? Torah says, because Torah says Naira.
In the case last night,
that's the law.
Was it? Yeah. He deliberately was Meitzi Shema on her or not? If he was deliberately, then he would be Chayav Misa himself, no?
If what?
The guy was Meitzi Shema on the Naira.
No.
If he did it be Meitzi, then he would be Chayav Misa, no?
No.
Because he wants her to get killed.
No. That's only Adam Zayin. By the way, it's a long tesis over here. Hey, but it's a long tesis over here. Tesis says that Tesis asks a question, but there's a din that knas and money do go. I mean, knas and malchus do go hand in hand. And this 100 that we're learning, that the Gemara's whole question is, how could you say the girl gets a knas, right? Even though we learned she gets whipped, the guy gets whipped to me, and yet we know that you can't whip and get paid. So how come our Mishnah says the girl gets the fine? Right? So Taisa says, 1 minute. This that you don't pay, get, Malkus and pay is monetary, not fines. There's a difference between monetary damages and fines. By definition, fine is equal. There's a few minutes.
I think we're the stone.
If somebody steals, yeah, you have to pay double?
Yeah.
Yeah?
If you steal at night.
If you're a gun, you have to pay double. Mm-hmm. That's called knas. It's a set amount.
Right.
Double.
Right.
Therefore, if a guy stole, and before he's caught, he comes to court and admits that he did it, fines you don't pay. Meidah b'knas, the guy admit the fine before Beis Din catches him, okay. But if I break your window, and before I get caught, they come to the court and say, by the way, I broke his window, you have to pay it. That's not a fine, it's monetary damages.
Right.
Okay? And the Gemara says, what's the difference conceptually, what's a fine, what's money? Money varies. More damages. I broke your window. It could be a $10 window. It could be a $5 window. It could be a $100 house. Whatever. The differences. There's no set amount. For instance, the pasuk says, you kill an eved if an ox gores a slave. Yeah? The owner has to pay 30 shekel to the owner of the slave. Right? If the guy dies. It doesn't matter if the slave was worth $1 million or the slave was worth $5. The Torah says, no matter what the case is, you always have to pay 30. That's called fine. And therefore, Beis Din, unless if they have smicha from Eretz Yisrael, not today smicha, the real smicha, cannot do fines outside Eretz Yisrael. Monetary din, you can collect even today. But fine is a unique din. So today's question over here is, the Gemara says clearly in another place that fines and malchus do go hand in hand. So what's the Gemara's question over here? Okay, we continue.